Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And you sure know how I love those five-star ratings and 2- and 3-sentence reviews. I love posting them on our social media. And, of course, guttingthesacredcow at gmail.com if you want to say hi or advertise with us. And now, without any more delay, JL Colvin can tell Juliet Miranda, special guest host, why Nightmare on Elm Street is overrated.
Gather around, here's what I know. Just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah, it's trending right now.
Yeah, that doesn't
matter, cause we're gutting the sacred cow.
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio. Juliet Miranda, guest host. What film is that from?
Ooh, I don't think I know that one.
Whoa, JL Colvin, returning three-time guest. Do you know what
was I just accidentally doing a white supremacy thing? Yeah. Sorry, great. There we go.
or is it you're calling me an asshole in Australia?
Is that what that is?
I think it is.
What a dangerous gesture three became. Who knew?
Yeah, I think people took liberties with that. I think we just call it three and move along.
I don't know. It sounds like it's from a comedy that I haven't seen.
You both have seen this ad nauseum. What are you looking at? I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio. That film is a 1984 classic, Revenge of the Nerds.
Classic? That's debatable, but okay.
Oh, that film.
I don't think I've ever seen that fully, and it's like only on like, you know, oh, it's on Channel 11 in the edited version. I caught like 20 minutes here or there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not the bra and panties raid, not as fun. Kevin Goatee, Juliet Miranda, JL Colvin, what a hat trick of good-looking yet effervescent people. We are back cutting the sacred cow. Wowie zowie. You want to talk about timing. This is what it is. We have now had 2 weeks in a row of horror movie choices. We never get horror film choices because there are very few films that qualify. JL has chosen one that is on the Mount Rushmore of horror, Nightmare on Elm Street. And I was lucky enough to get Juliet here because she is a horror guru, even sitting on this very podcast, the many episodes, and taking down A Quiet Place. But I figured I'd reach out to her on the old bat phone and talk about one of the most influential horror films of all time. A budget in 1984 of $1.8 million, a box office haul of $57 million. Turn that into 2022 money, $4.9 million budget, $155.2 million. That is an insane ROI, which then afforded us the pleasures of a lot of shitty sequels. As we all know, IMDb is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal places. JL, what do you think Nightmare on Elm Street has scored on the old IMDb?
Well, I know what it is on Rotten Tomatoes. It's extremely high on Rotten Tomatoes. But
you cheated, you son of a bitch.
No, just that's, I looked that up like before I knew I was going to do the episode, like before I knew what movie I was choosing.
Okay.
To see if it like qualified on all the, you know, box office, like highly praised, et cetera. I'll say it's a 7.9.
Juliet?
I got to go a little bit higher than that. I mean, 80s nostalgia is huge in the horror community, so I'm going to go 8.4.
7.4.
Ooh.
Rotten Tomatoes, as we know, is a 1 through 100 scale. Juliet, what do you think the critics gave Nightmare on Elm Street?
Well, critics are notoriously harsh on horror movies, but that said, this was kind of a pivotal one for the time. So I don't know. Let's cut the difference. We'll go 70.
JL, do you know this answer? Or did you? Or
yeah,
did
you need I should abstain, right? Yeah, yeah. I'll recuse.
Well, Julia, get prepared for your jaw to hit the French Quarter. Critics gave the score 95%.
Holy balls! That's fucking awesome.
Audience, JL, do you know the audience? Do you know the audience score as well?
I don't.
All right, so then we'll go to you then. Yeah, you can guess for the audience score.
94.
Juliet?
Lower than the critics. Let's do 85.
84. Someone's got two showcases. Look at that. Quotes. Get ready for some doozies. I woke up with a heart on and had had your name written all over it. Followed up by her retort, up yours with a twirling lawnmower. God, the 80s had some garbage ass comeback lines.
Fuck me gently with a chainsaw.
Yeah, this is some shit you get when you're on a stage and someone tries to heckle you. You go, is that really the best you've decided to sit there for 5 to 10 minutes and come up with and attack me with? This is like dunking on Muggsy Bogues. Next one. Where's your pass? Screw your pass! That's some Quentin Tarantino dialogue, folks. That's what I... What's next? Badges? We don't need no stinking badges. Other than that, this film is completely quoteless. Unless, Juliet, you have one you want to jump out and share with me?
Oh, I'll tell you my favorite one. And Freddie says it. He says, why are you screaming? I haven't even caught you yet. Which I think is awesome.
Pretty cool. JL?
No real quotes. The you named one of the ones, you're hard up when the 29-year-old high school senior says to the 30-year-old 15-year-old
right
that line, I thought, that's not good. That is very 80s.
You mean the guy who found one erroneous gray pube goes, whoa. Five fun facts. I want to let you try and guess who is originally supposed to be Freddy Krueger, but you're not going to get it. David Warner was supposed to be Freddy Krueger. If you recall him, he was in Tron. He was in Star Trek VI, I believe. He was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. You know, he actually died recently. Had to drop out because of scheduling conflicts. Number two. The sleep doctor who tries to cure Nancy is Charles Fleischer. Who the hell is Charles Fleischer? That's the voice of Roger Rabbit.
So random.
The infamous Freddy Lullaby.
He was a stand-up comic, I think.
Was he?
Because I remember seeing, if I'm not mistaken, occasionally at the DC Improv when I was in law school, like way back, like seeing him just on the list. And that was obviously the credit that would be used.
Did he say, waitress, bring me a bourbon?
Probably.
The infamous Freddy Lullaby was composed by Heather Langenkamp's boyfriend at the time, who was a musician. I wonder if he got his royalties check. Want to take a stab who was originally cast to be Johnny Depp's role? I already forgot his character's name. Huge in the 80s, pretty big in the 90s, only known in the 2000s after, only for his... shenanigans, but huge actor in the 80s and pretty big in the 90s. One guess each. Four.
Mickey Rourke.
Good guess. Good. Same vein, but not it. Julia.
Eric
Roberts.
That ruins my guess. I was going with like Andrew McCarthy or somebody dumb like that.
Charlie Sheen.
Ah.
How cool that'd have been. Yeah. Number five. No, the reason why he didn't do it, they could not afford his $3,000 a week fee. This film shot for a month. How many weeks did they need him for? 4 days? Jesus. Number five, the Johnny Depp death scene incorporated 500 gallons of fake blood in an upside down rotating bedroom, which I thought it's still a pretty badass scene, obviously with the limitations it had for budget-wise as well as lack of technology at the time. So cool stuff. And now, kids, it's time for the audience to jump in the fun, which they love to do in Ask a Gutter. And boy, do we have some doozies out here. At Carly Kingsley, A Nightmare on Elm Street is my favorite holiday movie. Not a question, but more of obviously a statement. But I didn't know that this took place during the old Yuletide carols and such, but
that's
all right.
That's what's weird is because every time you say holiday, technically it's a holiday movie, but the term holiday movie, we now kind of know stands for sort of Christmas season.
Right. I don't see
Independence Day is not a holiday movie, though right. Technically, I guess you could call it that.
Right. I mean, it's a scary movie that just inherently makes it okay to watch for Halloween.
Right. I guess Leprechaun also being a holiday film, or Leprechaun in Da Hood also holiday films.
April Fool's Day.
Perfect. Perfect. Next one, of course, at Rex Crumb, who would win in a fight between Freddy Krueger and his spiritual son, Johnny Depp as Edward Scissorhands? That's for you, JL. All these questions are for you. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. I would say Depp, you know, Edward Scissorhands too sensitive, but Freddy Krueger appears to be 4'11" in this movie. So if he can light a fire under Depp's ass, under Scissorhands' ass, maybe, I think he can take him. But, you know, Freddy's much meaner. So, you know, probably kicks him in the nuts and then claws him to death.
While reciting some pithy dialogue. At Eric4953, are practical special effects scarier than modern digital effects?
The reason I didn't do Hellraiser is because Hellraiser was appropriately bashed by critics. But like Hellraiser is an example of a movie where I watch it and go, when could this have possibly ever been scary? The effects are so bad. But I go, yes. Maybe in 1985, it just wasn't as bad, but it's impossible to not see it as bad. So I think digital, unfortunately, is for the most part better. There's exceptions, but, you know, I think most of the time digital will be better because some of these like classic effects are horrible.
Including in this film at times. I will also, I will notate that. Hellraiser would not
but
have been
this was not as bad. This, to be fair, even though I'm here to insult it, there were many more decent effects for the times than I expected.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
There are a couple here I'll point out, but Hellraiser would not have been qualified because that film is trash from get to go. Yeah. Oh my, it is.
But I have too many people who say to me like, oh, I love Hell, and I'm like, how? It's so bad.
Well, then you need to stop talking to people who work at Hot Topic, JL, and let's get expand those horizons. Because I don't know anyone who defends that film. I know, Juliet, you're a horror fan. Is Hellraiser a good film?
You know, the story is great. The book is fantastic. I feel like the movie just didn't pull it together. And that reboot of it right now is just abysmal. I mean, it's horrible. So I have a hard time with Hellraiser.
Fair. Next question. At Nemirovsky, if you can control yourself while dreaming well enough to pull Freddy into the real world, why the hell wouldn't you dream up a goddamn flamethrower and go Rick Dalton on Freddy's ass?
I feel like there's probably some sort of rule about maybe you can't, you know, just like in Terminator.
I was just going to say Terminator. You have to be naked.
You can't take anything with you. I feel like that would be a rule, like, you can take him, but you can't conjure up something. If he's controlling the dream world, you can't conjure something into existence. That would be my guess.
Yeah, like the Green Lantern in his ring. Next, at Brandon Oglesby, Newark Knight. Since you hate this movie, did the 2010 remake improve the story?
I didn't. Did I see? Is that what the guy?
Kelly Leak. Jackie Earle Haley.
Right. The thing is, I think I saw it in the theater and
I don't
remember. I really don't have like much memory of it one way or the other. I don't remember like loving it, but I don't remember thinking this is the worst thing ever. I just don't really have like any opinion.
Oh, no, it's empty and horrible. Should never have been made.
You know, a reboot horror film reboot was actually kind of good. The Friday the 13th reboot was pretty good.
Yes, and all of the Texas Chainsaw Massacres except the Netflix version were pretty good.
I like the 03 one, which didn't get great reviews. It's the one with Jessica Biel.
Yeah, it's Michael Bay.
That one's really good.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Actually, it was pretty scary. I was like, why is this getting ripped? Like, it's, I actually thought it's Michael it was pretty Bay. Good.
I liked it too. I actually own it, which is, you know.
Yeah, I do too.
Not bad. And back to the Friday the 13th reboot. If you can appreciate a woman topless water skiing with fantastic tits and then catching an arrow while topless water skiing, I don't want to know who you are. At Newark Night, that's been my problem with Freddy. There were easily action movie fans amongst those kids, and no one tried to dream up an action movie scenario or bust out a one-liner. Okay, another statement. Next, at Eric 4953. Although at the time scary, A Nightmare on Elm Street seems campy and dated. The question being, what horror, in quotes, movie can you rewatch and still be scared?
I'll give you a couple.
Sure.
My favorite of all time, The Exorcist, The Shining, and one that I recently rewatched it. I had rewatched it and was scared, but it's now on the, it didn't really scare me anymore. Event Horizon.
Never saw that. You good?
It's Event Horizon. See, I saw it in the theater in the 90s. It's got Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne. And it is like a perfect mashup of The Shining and Alien. Because it's basically The Shining in outer space. But I remember I saw it in the theater, thought it was terrifying. And most people, if you talk to anybody who has seen it, if they saw it in the theater and they're in our age range, they will be like, that movie is slept on. That's a legitimately scary movie. But I watched it last year for like the third time. And it was the first year I was like, Sam Neill's performance is a little too much. It like, he telegraphs that kind of, he's going to be the one going like, it's he's staring down the receiver too much in that movie, but it's still, I think it's worth giving a try. I think you might, if you give it a little bit of the, it's not a bad mashup of two classic sort of movies.
I hate The Exorcist. We watched it again for this very podcast a few months ago. So boring. Boring. And also was the first one you said, Shining, Kevin Israel hates that film. And that's a suspense film. That is not a horror film. It's a bunch of hysterical screaming. Again, listen to the episode if you have not been there. I would choose Alien and maybe even Halloween 78. I love the Halloween remake. It's not scary. He just goes around and fucks up people for an hour and a half, which is great. But 78, but Alien still, I rewatch it. God, everyone sleeps on that. I prefer Aliens, but Alien is a perfect fucking film. Perfect.
But Aliens, what's crazy. Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to agree. And I think actually the more you rewatch it, Halloween 78 kind of falls to the same criticism that The Shining does. It is kind of a tedious movie. I mean, I appreciate all the effects, not the effects, but the buildup and the storyline, but nothing really happens in that.
I'm not a fan of Halloween, the original. But I was going to say Alien and Aliens in one franchise, you literally have A-plus horror movie and then an A-plus action movie, like 100%. Sci-fi action.
Yep.
It's so cool because it's like one is Ridley Scott doing his thing and then it's like James Cameron. And and honestly, it's not good. Let me go out there and say that. But David Fincher's first movie is Alien 3. Mm-hmm. And the one really good thing about that movie, I think, is the directing. Like his camera work with sort of the dog alien, like it's kind of dreary and cool in terms of just like his vision, even though it's not like, it's clearly like way a step down from the first two.
I saw it once. I don't remember a damn thing about it except Sigourney Weaver has a shaved head and that's it.
But if you like, I mean, it'd be interesting, I think, to go back and watch just because you'll be like, oh, you can see kind of the Fincher-ness because his next movie's 7. So it's like he makes a pretty big jump.
and then the game.
And now he's like one of the best.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, of course, this is from the STSD cast. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much was Johnny Depp hoping his bed would swallow up Amber Heard and erupt in a fountain of blood after she shit on it?
One, a scale of 1 to 10.
Yes.
I'd go 6.5.
Oh, that's a good IMDb score. Perfect. At Lord Snurts, would Kevin McAllister from Home Alone survive a Freddy encounter? He has the house rigged with traps and the pellet gun.
Yes, he would, because Freddy Krueger, and here's like one of my complaints, very weak. like alarmingly soft in the real world. like Kevin McAllister would have had Freddy clutching his nuts and falling down the stairs.
Yeah. But I mean, to be fair though, Freddy Krueger in the real world, I mean, he's a child molester. Not many child molesters are 6'5 and 240 like Jack Reacher or some shit like that.
True.
They're very waify. They're very Timothy Chalamet-ish.
Reptilian.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Thank you. That's going to wrap it up for Ask a Gutter. So let's let the main course, guys, it's time for the main course here. Julia, let's welcome JL to come on and do what he's about to do, I think. And that is guts
the
sacred cow. We were close. We were almost
right there.
Go ahead, JL.
All right. This has happened with me before, thankfully not with 2001, where I was able to stay completely committed to, I hate this movie, nothing changed. Lawrence of Arabia was more of a, I still think it's like too much, but there are many more elements that I can appreciate, even though I still don't really like the movie. This one, I saw it for the first time a couple of years ago. So this was only my second time watching it, and both as like an adult. And I thought the first time I watched it, it was terrible. So it was an easy choice for me to go, I'm doing this one. So I rewatch it. And I try not to be too harsh for some of the 80s stuff, like some of the stuff it can't help. I think everybody was too slavish to synth music. Somebody had to take a stand and be like, are we all contractually obligated to use this very non-scary music in our movie? Like immediately I'm like taken out of the sort of, you know, that's why I guess Halloween, but that's not an 80s movie, you know, has that iconic sort of creepy score. I thought the acting, and I'll give Johnny Depp credit, I think that's maybe why this movie launched his career. He just seemed like a normal actor, and probably casting agents were like, who's that guy who's kind of cute and doesn't suck at acting? And then his career took off. There's something about that voice. Am I allowed to just go like bit by bit? Cause this is early in the movie.
Sure.
The was it Tina? Is it,
yes,
Tina? Tina,
yep.
And Rod?
Blonde one.
Right.
Yeah. Their dialogue, you brought it up as one of the quotes, like, his voice sounded completely dubbed. Like something about Johnny Depp's voice, it sounded like he was actually speaking on set. Everybody else, like Rod, was like, hey, why don't you suck? Like there's something about that 80s voice sound that's just terrible. But
like morning DJ kind of shit.
Exactly. I thought the acting was poor. I'm just going to say that generally. I thought the acting was poor. One of the things I noticed early was Tina and Rod had real like porn sounding sex, and then when she dies it's like 15 years. I was like, first of all, 15, I don't think Freddy Krueger's her biggest problem if she's fucking like that at 15,
right?
And her boyfriend looks 30, she looks 26, she's playing a 15-year-old. I know that's like a minor complaint, but I will say, since I'm talking about acting, her mom gives, in a movie of not great acting, the standout for the wrong reasons. Like, she is off the charts bad. It's really bad. Like, it's so that's one thing. And I know it's a horror movie, so it's about the chills and the thrills, but like the acting overall was not good. I feel like Freddy Krueger is sort of emblematic of one of my things with 80s horror movies, which is great at creating iconic villains for like branding and Halloween costumes, but not necessarily surrounding them with the greatest movie. That said, this did have some scenes that I forgot and was like, that's actually pretty good, like very good for the time and still holds up. The when he's creeping through the ceiling on, I guess, was that Tina or was that? No, that was Heather. Well, that's the actress's name. What's her? Nancy. Like when he's like in the, like that's been done in a lot of movies since, but that was a very cool sort of, you knew you were watching a sort of iconic little horror image right there. The Johnny Depp death scene was I thought it was going to be crappy. And then I was like, that's pretty damn good for, you know, the death of Tina is one of those, like, I'm trying to give the 80s like graded on a curve. So the slashes to me were actually pretty solid, but Rod going, there's someone else in here. I'm going, I would have written it more like she was floating, like something, but he was like, there was definitely somebody in here. I'm like, there definitely wasn't, dude. You were right there. Once again, a small thing. And then Freddy Krueger to me, and as Kevin pointed out, he was a child molester, so he wasn't going to be. Although we shouldn't judge, we shouldn't give a free pass to large people. You know, just hey, they're normally small. But Freddy Krueger, when he runs after, like Freddy Krueger in my mind is this terrifying, iconic horror villain. Then I see him chasing, I guess it was Nancy. I'm forgetting in the beginning of the movie, but I guess he was chasing Nancy. But he was chasing Tina.
It was Tina
in the beginning,
it,
right?
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And when he, I'm like, oh, okay, Freddy Krueger, cool. He's got the claws. He's a burn victim. That's gross. And then I see him running down the street. I'm like, this guy looks like he's about 4'11". And I know I'm 6'7". You can't tell from Zoom, Julia, but that took me out a little bit. I was like, oh, just turn and kick him in the nuts. Like this is like a weird little guy. Like when he was running through the street, I was like, who is this child with a claw chasing after her?
I'm going to interrupt for one second. Yeah. Want to take a guess how tall Robert Englund is?
Is he like 5'3"?
5'10".
Oh, so no, it was like, wow, that's weak.
The distortion of the camera, the way it was shot, it was very, it's very off-putting the way he shot it then.
Oh, because see, 5'10", especially for Hollywood, that would look like a full-grown, that is a full-grown man. But like when he filmed it, I was like, he looks like sneaky. Like this guy's supposed to like rip your heart out. And I'm like, who's this guy like darting down the street? I also did find it funny when the mom, they didn't even give the mom good dialogue. I just wrote this down as a note. Freddy Krueger was a filthy child murderer. It's like, filthy? Like a filthy child? It just was a weird phrasing. Now I will say, oh, Glenn. Okay, so Johnny Depp's character's name is Glenn. His things I highlighted that were like pretty good. Glenn's death. And I did like the phone when it turned into a tongue.
Yeah.
Late in the movie. Because I thought, okay. Yeah, that was one of those moments where I'm trying to be fair and go, you know what, for 1984, that was probably like really cool and creepy. Now it's kind of goofy looking, but like if you give it credit. And then I thought the ending was really bad. I get they were trying to do the, oh no, it's like, there's so many more ways to do a scary, oh no, they really lost ending. But this one, it was like the car hood comes up. And it's like, oh, they're trapped in the car. But what's going on? And then the mom in a blatantly, you're grabbing a mannequin at the end. Like I can tell.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm going, wait, I was actually kind of almost, I was on the like, okay, this is not as bad. I still don't think it's that good, but I have to give it credit and say, it's much better than I remember. The first time I saw it, I didn't watch it with sort of an eye to doing a podcast and really being fair to it. So I was just like, this feels really dated and cheap and like not that good. It's better than my first impression. But then like, if I were going like thumbs up, thumbs down, I get to that ending and I was like, oh, you did not stick the landing, Nightmare on Elm Street. Whatever you were trying to do with this. Oh no. I was just like, half confused and half like, that was poorly executed. Like, that's your dismount for creating a horror franchise. And it felt like they totally like fumbled it.
It's like a very, it's like a narrator retinue or whomever it was who jumped off the pommel horse and snapped her ankle in four. That's exactly a perfect analogy.
Carrie Strug.
That's it. Yep.
I think that's because I wrote Freddie appears 5'2". That's one of my, but I think, yeah, I feel like, I think I hit all my, I think Nancy's cop dad is not terrible. Oh, and the bathtub trick. Cause like when the claw comes out of the bathtub, mm-hmm. That's a cool moment. And I think, you know, without being, I'm obviously not a horror historian or expert, but if you tell me that, you know, some of these images like the wall, the bloodbath, the bathtub are these kind of new kind of images that become iconic, obviously that, you know, you have to give it credit, which you can't necessarily do if you don't know all the history and all the stuff that it brought. But I would say I thought I was going to give this movie. Well, I don't know if I should grade, but there's my general impressions as well as I could articulate.
Give me a number 1 to 10.
Number 1 to 10. I feel I hate doing this because I feel like I wanted to come on and be like, guys, it's a 2. Okay. Get over your nostalgia. Yeah. But if I'm being honest, it's like somewhere between a 5 and a 6 for me.
Okay. So we'll call it a 5.5.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Juliet Miranda, how are you? What do you think about Nightmare on Elm Street? I know you've seen this multiple times.
I have. I've seen it, I don't know, at least a dozen times, first in the theater and then rewatching it over the years. I still have my original VHS copy of it that is, you know, beat to shit, but well loved. You know, these 80s movies are really hard sometimes to rewatch, and I don't have that same nostalgic affection for the 80s horror movies that a lot of people have. I mean, I'll tell you that all of these slasher movies, they all kind of suck in their own special ways. But Wes Craven, I think, did something really special with this movie. I mean, if you look at what he was coming off of, prior to this, he had done Last House on the Left, which might be one of the most grisly, brutal, depressing horror movies ever made.
Yep.
He did Hills Have Eyes, which is fantastic, incredible movie. You know, and he was coming into this, 1984, I think?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, technology was getting better, practical effects were getting better, and Wes Craven was actually a professor at a university prior to being a horror guy, and he always kind of wanted to make a slasher that was smart, and that was a little bit of his goal with Nightmare on Elm Street. Now, I don't know if he actually, you know, accomplished that, because the 80s love their one-liners, so you watch this movie, and Freddy just kind of comes off as David Lee Roth. He's got his snappy little one-liners, you know, and you're like, oh, give me a fucking break, dude. But I still think he makes a really scary horror icon, like you were saying. You know, the 80s were great for that. You've got your figurehead that, you know, takes over these movies. And Freddy was the only one who visibly loved killing people. I mean, he relished it. And I think that in itself is really scary. You know, prior to that, you look at somebody like Jason Voorhees. I mean, he was this sad, troubled little kid, essentially. Even you could argue the same thing for Michael Myers, who was wounded because his sister was having sex. Well, you know, Freddy Krueger was just a dick all of his life. And then in the afterlife, he turned into an even bigger dick, which, you know, is kind of unheard of for the time. So he just took over this movie and he kind of nailed it, I think. Now, I agree with you 100%. Robert Englund is kind of a scrawny little dude. So he's not, as imposing as a lot of the other, you know, slashers were. And the parents in this movie, oh my God, why were 80s parents always portrayed as such monsters? Like, you've got the alcoholic mother who's like, no, dear, let's take you to a sleep institute. You've got a
and like drinking, mom. And she's like drinking it, like in a, in like this absurd way, like, oh, I have to, I'm walking by a closet. I can't get to the kitchen before I have to grab a drink before I get to the liquor cabinet downstairs.
Yes, she's putting vodka in her coffee in the morning.
It's more impressive that she didn't have the DTs while watching her daughter go through an 8-hour sleep study.
Tina's mom, she was a whore, you know, sleeping with some scary dude while her daughter's having nightmares. I mean, I think the parents in these movies are half as scary as the serial killers are. But the one thing that really stands out that I think doesn't get enough recognition is actually Heather Langenkamp's character, Nancy. You know, horror movies traditionally get railed for having these one-dimensional female characters, you know, who just kind of throw their hands up in the air and cry. But she's kind of a badass. You know, she figured out a way to try and beat Freddy Krueger. You know, she set up her little Home Alone jerry rigging system, and that was pretty inventive. You did not see that in a lot of horror movies. So I got to say, I mean, I think this is a great movie. You got to look at it from being, you know, from the 80s. So it is dated. You know, it doesn't entirely play out as well as a modern movie would, but it's strong. It's a strong movie.
Give me a number.
Solid 8.
Ooh, I knew you'd come correct on this one. These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com, where you can find yourself a badass t-shirt like this one. You know it. All that and then some over there. Don't forget, follow us on all the socials, GTSD Podcast on Twitter. Email us at guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com if you want to advertise with us or just to say hi. Notes. It's iconic as all hell to see him making that glove in the opening scene of this film. But if he's in a dream, isn't that glove already made, or can he just conjure it into thin air? But if this is actual reality of him making the glove when he was alive, this needs more explanation than just him making a glove. I need to know why he's doing this. I need to know how. It's explained later with the pedophile murder and all that shit, but I need more in the beginning than just why I'm making a glove. Like, what's the fucking point? Like, what's the whole semblance and behind that?
That is a good point. Yeah.
If I hear my daughter shriek from the other room while she's sleeping and I go in there and I find she has slash marks on her nightgown, I'm going to have a few questions, folks. And Tina's mom had to rush back into that room to bang even greasier Paulie from Rocky.
Exactly.
I mean, he's got her wetter than an irrigation ditch. No. Heather Langenkamp, who plays Nancy, is one of the worst actresses outside of porno and college improv. I'll get that in a moment. So let me just get this straight. Tina goes outside wearing nothing but a long sleeve shirt and underwear with no weapon to check out a mysterious voice. Got it. She deserves to be fricasseed. How about a little preparation? Grab
her
a bat, a goblin. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, don't go bare feeting outside on asphalt. Carry a knife. Get something instead of going, hello? Prank calls with sound effects is so beautifully 80s, and I'm here for every single minute of it. When they were calling from the airport with the boombox, I love that.
Oh, that's right, that's right. I was was your refrigerator running kind of gal.
Yep. You're Prince Albert in a can. You better go let him out. Looks like the prop department dropped the ball when Freddie cut off two fingers, but only one of them spurted green blood.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, when you do 150 episodes of this podcast, my jeweler's loop is fixed to my face. Why does Freddy run like an inflatable, wacky, wavy guy you see in front of used car lots? Mm-hmm. His hands are in the air like ooga booga booga, like running after your hands. He's not like Tom Cruise, our favorite action hero, JL's and mine. He doesn't run arms scissoring at his side to be more aerodynamically efficient. He's running with the most wind resistance. Unless it's one big game, I'm just going to go, you know what? I'll catch her eventually. I'll take my sweet ass time. But I had a problem with that.
Yeah, if I can, would be more menacing to me, since he controls the dreams, walking.
Sure.
Like, because then it's just like, you'll blink and I'll be like, all of a sudden I'm over there. And this is my world. It's almost like the Matrix. Like, he controls it. So when he's like running, you're like, I don't want to see my horror villains making an effort. like that they have to try. I like the menacing sort of like creepiness.
That's a great point, because there are two schools of thought. They have that, or you have the Michael Myers slow, methodical walk across the street to go get the babysitters, or you have the Leatherface who runs with a chainsaw. Not exactly the best idea to do, run with a chainsaw, but runs after people. So there are two completely different schools of thought, but I like yours. I like the slow, stoic, methodical, I'm going to get you. It's just a matter of when I decide.
Freddy Krueger, you know, a fast villain can be scary too. Like you said, chainsaw, but like Freddy chooses option three.
Yeah. Running like a goofball. I really think that Tina scene where she got dragged up the wall and slashed, that was fantastic. Again,
that is terrifying stuff right
very,
there.
Very, very good. Still to the, like, wow, that, tip your hat to that. Why is Nancy's mother dressed like Ted Knight in Caddyshack?
80s.
You know, I'm no slouch myself. Nancy's mouth is always slightly agape, like she's an ardent fan of NASCAR. That one whiffed.
Does she actually have blue eyes? Because in some scenes it was like super bright blue, and then other scenes I was like, I can't even tell if she has blue eyes.
I didn't catch that. I didn't know. 30 minutes in and none of these dumb dildos tell their parents are having bad dreams about Freddy. The minute a convicted pedophile moves into a neighborhood now, everyone gets a Google alert, but this for some reason is kept on the super fucking low. Like, don't ever talk about it. I'd be the first thing, like, oh my God, I had this crazy dream about this guy with knives and did this and that. Really? No shit, me too. Then you would start a little thread on Reddit and then have a whole support group and then maybe try and hunt this fucker down. All right, let's talk about an 80s trope. Nancy's mom says, I'll go get some warm milk for you. Is that the 80s trope of all tropes?
Yes.
Or has that gone the way of the Atari 2600? Dead. No one does that anymore, right? Warming up, you know, milk for you to help you sleep.
No, but I love that she goes, warm milk. Gross. Yeah. Like, that was cool.
Yeah. But we all like hot chocolate, which is warm milk.
Mm.
Lawyered. She locks the door after her mother rescues her from that bathtub scene. Probably a good idea to leave that door unlocked in case round two happens, you know? And I loved him with the glove in the water. But now, of course, and this is for you, JL, with the glove, you think a little Donald Trump, grab her by the pussy. There you go.
Yeah, it'd be triggering.
Oh, boohoo.
Let's talk about the lack of follow-up in this film. What did you do to your arm? Oh, I burned it in English class. Where is the goddamn follow-up question? What are you shit? I pause and go, you've got to be fucking kidding me. How the shit can you burn your arm in English class unless you're recreating the burning of Joan of Arc at the stake as a heretic? I burn English class.
To be consistent, you could have had her like fall asleep in chemistry class.
Or home
ec.
And then like, so that people go, you probably just burned it on the Bunsen burner. Like, instead it's like, I'm sitting in my desk in English class and now my arm has a
secondary burn.
Burned.
I just laughed and go, you got to be fucking kidding me. Next, you got to be kidding me. Nancy runs out of that English class like she put her head on a baseball bat and spun for 30 seconds straight. She was running all goofy outside the classroom like she's trying to avoid a cop's doing a roadside sobriety test.
Their running coach, you know, their running coordinator was not
Michael
good
J. Fox. Was it Michael J. Fox?
Oh.
Zing. I love you, Michael J. Fox. Back to the Future, perfect film. What psychopath writes his name on the inside of a hat or any clothing for that matter? Oh, yeah. A pedophile who slashes kids and feels that his unique glove of knives isn't a good enough calling card. We just did It Chapter One, and one of the kids who was killed by Pennywise the Clown, they're in the sewers and go, "Oh, that's Betty So-and-So's shoe." How do you know? They open it up, it says Betty So-and-So. I go, you, the exposition has gotten lazy, kids. This is stupid. No one writes their clothes unless you're one of 15 and you're Amish. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go here and actually say my mom would sew, like for camp and stuff, would sew my name into like all my clothes. So oh, yeah. I gotta give it some credit, I guess.
JL, you must have been a monster child. Like, oh, but my kids, that's his clothes. The one who's wearing an XL at age 13, who's not fat. Wait, is that a counselor shirt? No, it's JL's shirt. It says Yankees on it. Why the hell would the mom keep the Freddy glove in the goddamn stove burner, whatever that is? What is she going to do? Go downstairs, grab two bottles of pop-off vodka, get drunk, and make paper mache dolls in the basement, rehashing good times? Why would you keep that?
That's a good point, because it seems like the reason they didn't want to talk about Freddy is because they murdered him.
Right.
So it's like, but we kept the evidence.
kind of 101.
We don't talk about it,
right?
But we have the incriminating evidence that could get us potentially prosecuted.
That's like OJ framing his bloody glove in his house and putting it right above the fireplace. Next one. Mom pulling out vodkas out of thin air like she's David Blaine, for Christ's sakes. That's a magical trick. And you get no semblance of Nancy's parents that are married. I thought they were divorced. They're never in the same scene except the funeral for what's his tits. They're never home together. I know he's a cop. He's working, whatever. But I thought she was a divorcee for some reason. Whatever.
She was, though. Didn't they talk about that in there? Like, they're always
Did I
arguing.
Miss that? Did I
yeah,
miss
no,
that?
Yeah, no, I think you All missed the... that because they established yeah, that.
Okay, all right. Okay, yeah. All right, fine. I remember my statement. How can Freddie call it to Nancy if she's not sleeping? How could she hear that if she's not sleeping?
Depends on your subliminal state. I don't know. Maybe she's astral projecting.
Maybe she has such a low pulse rate she can fall into REM at any time.
Yes. Narcolepsy, something.
Johnny Depp is in bed filled with blood, and then 35 years later, filled in the bed of Amber Heard grumpies.
Ooh,
had to get one in there. I don't know about technology. I was only seven, or I guess, yeah, I was seven when this came out. I've never heard a digital watch have a sound effect of a countdown started, especially in the early 80s. I'm sorry. Those Casio watches weren't that technologically advanced, kids. I love Nancy going all home alone on Freddy. And you're right, Julia, had a pretty badass chick. She can throw down. I'm down with that. But now that she's in the real world, what's with all these elaborate, again, Rube Goldberg setups when she could just get a fucking shotgun nearby and blow his head off his shoulders? How about that? For simplistic, but effective. All these traps that I was waiting for, you guys give up or you're thirsty for more? How the fuck does a corpse wave goodbye while being sucked into a bed like Nancy's mother was? Did you see that skeleton slowly raise a hand like, bye, like E.T., I will always be here. Now we're just sowing the seeds of cheesiness that germinated and grew like massive vines in the sequels. It's funny as shit to see that blow-up doll getting yanked out of the door in the final scene by Freddy. The prop department must have been out of money or out of fucks to give at this point. I was scared to death of this film as a kid. It gave me, I couldn't even tell you how many different scenarios I had as nightmares with Freddy Krueger. I even dressed up as Freddy Krueger in the sixth grade for my Halloween costume. I didn't win. With the exception of Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, badass film.
Great movie.
Love it. The sequels were so exponentially worse than the last one and became complete cartoons. This film held on for so strong with me, and it firmly deserves a spot on Mount Rushmore. And when you talk horror characters, it's Freddy Krueger, Jason, Michael Myers, and you can argue fourth place. Now as a 45, about to be 46-year-old man, this film is just fine. I don't think I'm going to watch this again. It's not obviously enough scary as it was for me as a kid. I didn't hate it. I'm not like, holy shit, I'm going to defend it to the gills like I used to. 6 out of 10. It's fine. So we have a 5.5, a 6, and an 8. Here we have it. Critics, 5-star reviews. The original Nightmare delivers a terrifying villain and a unique concept that strips away any chance of safety. Freddy is arguably at his best, tearing through the screen into horror icon status. The final few minutes is all that prevents perfection. Very true. I love how the kids...
even people who love it, like, have to agree on, like,
that ending is trash.
By the way, what a lazy callback when the kid's top falls down the convertible. Oh, it's red and green like his sweater.
Yeah. And they carried that through all the sequels, too. Everything was sweater striped.
I have no doubt that A Nightmare on Elm Street will continue to hold its coveted place in horror history. With a mix of originality and camp coming from a genuine fear, it's a film that can't be replicated. Oh, but it was tried a lot. Can we go to sleep? Is it safe? When filmmakers attack real-life phobias and security blankets, horror films hit a peak high. It's a good point. You can't protect yourself when you're sleeping. Other things, other horror films, you're like, all right, I can go barricade myself in a whatever with weapons out the wazoo. Dreams, you are completely naked. The beginning of Freddy is as solid as it was decades ago. This still makes us scared to fall asleep. Critics, 1-star reviews. In this kind of movie, it's not the actor's sweat and tears the audience cares about. It's only the blood. And that's the only 1-star review from critics I saw on the internet. Can you believe that?
And it's completely invalid.
Yeah. Right. I've done this podcast again 100 almost 60 sometimes. I've found two maybe other or three films that only had one negative critic review. I think Jaws or Back to the Future was one of them. Godfather 2 might have been another, but Nightmare on Elm Street, we only can find one negative critic's review. That, my friends, is a true shock.
See, but that I feel like validates, even though I'm not hammering it as like some 2-star movie,
right?
It's more sacred than I originally sort of knew.
Right.
So like my 5.5 is not like this is the worst.
Right.
But I feel like on a scale of this movie is actually more revered or respected than I knew. I feel like it's still a shot.
No, it is. And then again, that's half the the criteria. Either you hate it or you find it insanely overrated. I mean, people have said, "Hey, critic, Citizen Kane, not terrible, but very overrated," which we agree. Amazon, 5-star reviews. I highly recommend this in all the sequels as well as the entire Hellraiser series. To horror buffs of every generation. If you're a younger horror film buff, you will love it. And if you're easily frightened, be prepared for months of real nightmares after watching this one. Bwa-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. You have been warned. Signed, Jared Leto. 1-2, Freddy's coming for you. 3-4, this reviewer is a bore. This is my favorite one. It was a gift and they liked it.
What?
My question is, did they send a thank you note at least? Jumpy 80s Halloween classic. Bring back boy crop tops.
Oh, that's a whole nother discussion when it comes to Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Johnny Depp's abs and pre-abs and all that, I'm sure is a little wet stain in the Miranda household.
No, I was a Patrick Swayze fan, not a Johnny Depp fan.
Amazon, 1-star reviews. No, I'm not kidding or exaggerating. This movie is absolutely horrible. The acting is atrocious, the plot line is flat, and there is absolutely nothing deeper in the theme or motifs to sink your teeth into. It's an hour and a half of obnoxious screaming that I would not endure if I was you. A movie that gets points for being well known. Sometimes you gotta call a spade a spade. Signed, David Spade.
See, that is like closer to the review I would have given a couple of years ago. I think Nightmare on Elm Street, in addition to me looking at it more thoughtfully for the show than I did when I just watched it on a whim, having seen Hellraiser
right
last year made me see more in this movie to appreciate, because Hellraiser is as bad as I thought on first view. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas Nightmare on Elm Street, I was like, oh yeah, there's some like things that are still very 80s and some things that aren't good, but it's actually doing plenty well also. Whereas sure. Hellraiser is just like, no.
Yeah. And Hellraiser came out years after this. So
I don't know about 87, 87, yeah, I think. Yeah.
Was it really? I thought it was it 85, 86 maybe, but I'm wrong. Okay. Nope. All right. You're the horror expert. Jay, I'll see your Hellraiser and I'll re-raise you Phantasm. That is equal dog shit. It was on Netflix. It said, let me give it a shot.
Man,
that is bad.
I get it. It's a shit movie. But when it comes to just that wacky, trippy sort of space horror, Lovecraftian kind of thing, it's fun to watch.
Maybe if you're in Guantanamo Bay and you have a impending life sentence, sure. Next one. Why do we have to pay for a movie from 1984?
Oh, it was on Amazon. Got it on HBO Max.
Yeah, it's free on HBO.
I own it, so I paid nothing anyway. So there.
Yeah, good.
I love when guests pick films that I own. I go, oh, good. This is perfect. The worst is paying like the fucking. Actually, I bought it when you said Lawrence of Arabia. I got, I think iTunes had like a $5 like classic movies. You go, I've never seen it. I'm gonna get it. So I had it when you call it when you did Lawrence of Arabia. I go, I guess I'm glad I have to buy it again. No, next one, bad, just bad. If you like a good scare, go somewhere else. Looking for a comedy that will leave you laughing at its campy nature? Go for it. Signed, Kevin Bacon.
Oh, leave Kevin Bacon out of this.
That was more of a nod for Friday the 13th, but I guess that was...
Yeah.
That's a... Well, all right. Last one. The scares are lame, the special effects are cheesy, and the ending is pretty dumb. Also, what the heck happened to Johnny Depp? This guy gets swallowed up and filtered by his bed? And what's up with all that blood? There is no way Mr. Depp was made up of that much red stuff.
Who's taking anatomy classes from a horror movie? I mean, come on. More blood is more good.
I love the simpleton's approach on the Amazon one-star reviews. It always, always puts a smile on my face. Julia Miranda, did J.L. Coven gut the sacred cow?
Oh, gosh. You know what? No.
Wow.
The movie stands. You take away the bit of the 80s cheese effect, it's still a solid movie. And y'all have agreed with me. The scares are still effective. They stand tall, even now, with practical effects. Freddy Krueger is a little Weasley and lizardy, but he's still a badass killer. So, you know what? It's a solid movie.
Whoa.
Die on this mountain.
Did you get more pleasure saying no to JL or no to your husband when he tried gutting Back to the Future or other films that you sat in a shotgun with him?
Oh, please. We all know he did not gut Back to the Future.
Oh, of course I know that. By the way, him and Delvin Cox trying to take down Jaws, second most amount of hate mail I've ever seen for guests.
Yeah, that does not surprise me.
Yeah, he didn't gut he didn't gut Back to the Future at all. He was met with a wall of resistance from us. And then audience ate his fucking lunch. J.L. Coven, tell us, the fine folks, where we can find you and what you are up to.
Sure. Yeah. JLcomedy.com or J.L. Coven, if you want to spell my name, CAUVIN.com. Social media links, live shows in New Jersey, Michigan, Syracuse over the next month. And I got two podcasts that you can find. Like, everything's on my website, basically, podcasts, my YouTube channel, all that stuff. So, peruse and pick whatever intrigues you.
Juliet Miranda, I know you got some new exciting project you want to tell us about. So fire away, my dear.
Thank you. Yeah. So I host the Unwritable Rant podcast. There's 260 some odd episodes of that you can check out. It's bourbon-soaked storytelling. But I have a new project that's coming out in November. It's called That One Thing. It is a cooking podcast where I feature the one ingredient, tip, or technique that can elevate your everyday cooking. And there's going to be a companion YouTube show as well. So keep an eye on my website, theunwritablerant.com or julietmiranda.com, or my Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. And I'll have all the details about when it's officially launched.
Please don't tell me that ingredient is love.
Fuck no. Come on.
I know you're not. You're way too cynical for that horseshit. That's why we love you. KevinGoatee.com. More importantly, check me out. And Kevin Israel. We're doing a gig in Sloatsburg, New York, right across the border from Jersey. August. What the hell? October 28th. That's a Friday at 8 p.m. Come check it out. I'm featuring He's Headlining. More importantly, GuttingTheSacredCow.com. As I mentioned, GTSC podcast. Just follow us for the love of Christ. Give us a tweet, give us a love, and retweet and share with your friends. And we know that's how it works. Oh, and if you when you write us that 5-star rating and 2 or 3 sentence review, I love screenshotting my favorite ones and putting them on the social media. So do that, please, por favor. JL Coven, it's always a delight having you on this podcast. You do a monster
Thanks
job.
For having me.
My pleasure. And Juliet Miranda, you and your husband always, both of you, of course, have open invites. We love having you on this podcast. So thank you again for sitting shotgun with me. It's a pleasure, my dear.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And we will see everybody next time. Take care. Avita Zen.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.